So the last speaker of this morning session is Hélène Salmon, who is group leader at the Curie Institute in the Immunology Department, also still affiliated with the Mount Sinai Medical School, and another specialist of stromal cells in tumors. So we'll hear you about talking about contribution of the stromal cell compartment to tumor immunity.
Yes, we are going to be able to continue discuss about the extracellular matrix. So it's really an honor to be here. I thank the organizers. And also very nice to be presenting after two of my previous mentors, actually. So after my postdoc, I was in Myriam Merad lab, and that was focused on the myeloid compartment and how we can modulate these cells to increase anti-tumor immunity. I was really interested in a topic about stromal cells and how we could, how we can try to understand better how stromal cells, especially fibroblasts, can regulate beyond their their role of tissue support, can regulate the immune system, and this in particular in tumors. And that's why I started a research program, also thanks to Myriam, first at Mount Sinai to study this, and that I continued, that I have continued with a team at Institut Curie. And so I will discuss a bit more about how this CAF, and particularly CAF positioning, and the fibers and the specific fibers that they produce can orchestrate T cell exclusion. So that will be really in line with what Emmanuel was presenting. Just one thing, one funny thing is that if you have looked at the booklet and you are surprised about if a plastic surgery happened, it's just that this is not me. But I mean, she looks nice, but that's not me. So I don't know how I should take the fact that the best picture that they found of Hélène Salmon on Google is not me, but that's another point. So one thing about this also on this slide is that it shows you a bit how it's organized a tumor. So Emmanuel already discussed it, but I think this is, here is pictures that are in tumors you see, so this is human lung tumor, this is a squamous cell carcinoma and adenocarcinoma by scanning an electron microscopy. And you can see that the tumor, as Emmanuel was saying, that you have this organization not as a tumor mass with a stroma just at the periphery, but really organized in carcinomas, in multiple islets, tumor islets, that are surrounded by a stroma, where you can find many of these fibroblasts and vessels and fibers, etc. So again, this is going to be very brief because it's been discussed, but among the biomarkers of response to immunotherapy, in particular immune checkpoint blockade, you have expression of PD-L1, TMB, but also the level of CD8 T-cell infiltration, and in particular the not only the global level in the tumor, but also where they distribute. So it was discussed. And since the two things indeed that we had shown was that the dense matrix, but we didn't know which one. We didn't look at the cells that produced them at the time, but we had looked shown indeed that we saw that the matrix fibers can control T cell migration through their orientation, since T cells migrate preferentially parallel to the fibers. And also migrate poorly in this dense matrix. And you could see that in the lung, actually in human lung tumors, you can have this sort of you can have these sort of patterns actually frequently in patients where you do have not only like aligned fibers around tumor nest, but also more dense there. And so. Well, since this was shown, I'm not going to show it about this collagenase treatment experiment, but just keep it in mind because I will come back to it at the end of the talk. So since this was, yes, a proof of concept, obviously, that you won't treat with collagenase. So the questions that then I was interested in after my postdoc was to try to see if we could target actually the matrix-producing cells. The fibers we know can be produced by different types of cells, but the major contributors in normal tissue and also in tumors are known to be this cancer-associated fibroblast that produce in any organ the structure, the architecture of the tissue. But it's very challenging. It's been very challenging to target these CAFs. And there are even studies that show that if you deplete some activated fibroblasts, you in tumors you do have actually a tumor growth. So that's obviously what you want to avoid. And in human, there have been different drugs that have been developed and different clinical trials, but many have failed and have been terminated. So there are probably different reasons about that, but one is that this compartment of CAF is still poorly understood. There's increasingly increasing appreciation of the CAF heterogeneity within a tumor lesion or across patients, and we really think that could first explain the contradictory studies. And also, but the increasing appreciation would probably help to understand the heterogeneity, the cell biology, how they regulate the immune responses against cancer, and how we could better target them. So there, obviously, the questions that we asked was like, is there in human lung tumors, because that's what we've been continuing to study, is there actually specific cell subsets or cell states that are that produce this T cell limiting matrix, and maybe if we can try to identify the type of fibers. That's in line with a lot of the questions that were asked just before. So to do so, we worked on tissues. So that was in the Mount Sinai Hospital. We worked both on a cohort of patients that we analyzed by single cell sequencing, the non-small cell lung carcinoma tumors, as well as the adjacent tissue. And we paired this with multiplex imaging. We really wanted, so both on the same cohort and also on more samples. So we really wanted to have this combined analysis. And long story short, what we noticed, and so this is really thanks to John Grout, who's a PhD, was a PhD student and who recently defended, and Ephraim Koenigsberg, who mentored him for computational analysis. And so this, what we describe is like we have four different types of fibroblasts. We really spend a lot of time to go back and forth from the single cell to the histological data from the same patient to see if there was to study the relevance of the subsets or clusters that we would see. And in the end, we noticed that there were like across patients and sometimes within lesion, four different types of CAF that you find in these tumors, and the one that are the most prominent in the tumor lesions, and that you find in different patients, it's either this ADH1. This is a marker, but this is ADH1B CAF, so that are lowly activated, and that are different from the normal tissue fibroblast, but you can find them in the whole tumor, and they don't express this FAP, that is like this marker of activated fibroblasts that have been described in many tumors. And we also saw, so these two types of fibroblasts, you can find them in the whole stroma, not lining, but like around tumor cells. Here, by the way, in the presentation, the tumor cells always will be with in white. you see them, and I don't explain. We could see also that among these FAP CAF, so this activated CAF, you have some of them that have more like a contractile pattern, more elongated pattern as well, and that express some contractility genes, including alpha smooth muscle actin. And this can be organized in tumors either in patches, so you can really see like parts of the stroma that contain this fibroblast, or, as I will say later, a few multiple layers around the tumor nest. And finally, there was a cluster that was very different that expressed also high level of myosin H11. And when we looked at the tumors that contain them, we saw that, so in general, they are found where you have also the lowly activated fibroblast, so this ADH1B fibroblast, the green one, this one, and they form one layer of cells lining this tumor nest, and this is in some of the patients with ADH1B. When we look at the distribution of all these CAFs across our single-cell cohort or the histology cohort, we do see that that's kind of like a dichotomy between the green one, kind of green one, this ADH1B CAF, and enrichment in the FAB CAF. And this is associated with stage, which is in line with the fact that it's progressive activation of this fibroblast. And you can also see sometimes, so if you take a tumor lesion that is enriched in this FAB CAF, you can see like a gradient from the invasive margin to the center of the tumor of this lowly activated fibroblast to more activated in the tumor center. So in the end, we had like this CAF, four CAF organization patterns. Just to simplify, but it really reflects what we have in tumors, like more like at early stage, like stage one, you have this lowly activated fibroblast that you found in the whole stroma, with some of the patients presenting this line of myosin H11 CAF. And at later stage, you have activation of the fibroblast and sometimes like even more contractile one. So I told you that one effort we wanted to do is really to look at the spatial organization. So to do so, we spend a lot of time looking at sections of tumors and looking at the whole tumor, not only like a small part, at least the whole section, and looking at then like the different types of cells that you can find them. Here is the tumor cells in white. You have immune vessels in blue, the ADH1B CAF, for example, here in green. And this is the samples, obviously, with this myosin H11 CAF surrounding tumor nest. And then we were interested also in the localization of immune cells, especially T cells. So that's why we started to do, and a great thanks also to Philemon in the team, who spent a lot of time analyzing this data. So in the whole tumor, looking at where you can localize this tumor nest, and where the T cells are. So either across patients, looking at the mean of the distribution of these cells across patients, and also, as I will show later, sometimes like even from a part of the tumor to the other. And one first observation is that if you look at the samples that are enriched in this lowly activated CAF, so these samples versus the samples that are enriched in the FAB CAF, there is no, we don't see any significant differences in the level of T cells that are in the tumor nest that you can, the T cell infiltration that you can quantify both by just looking at the density in tumor nest and also at the ratio between density in tumor versus stroma. In both cases, we don't see any significant differences, which is against the idea that the activated CAF in general, as a whole, can exclude T cells. But when we look at more like the special organization and this presence of, so at early stage, so here we took like the early stage tumor, the stage one tumor, and we compared the samples that do have this myosin H11 CAF around tumor nest versus the ones that don't. We saw that indeed you do see, like when you have this CAF, you have a lower T cell infiltration into the tumor islets. And this, again, is quantified by tumor CD3 density and the ratio between CD3 and stroma. And interestingly, if you look at these patients, the section of these patients, and you look at fibers, but here with just like it's not specific, it's with the Masson's trichrome staining, you do see that in this patient you have like a slightly denser fiber that you see in blue around tumor nest. And I think one interesting point, as I say, is not only to look at patient, compare patient to patient, but also within the tumor lesions, because you can have some heterogeneity. And so, for example, this represents like the whole slide of a tumor that was stained with all these markers. And you see here that it was cut into small regions, tiles, that then and like with the unbiased analysis, computational analysis of this, a presence of myosin CAF cells by their both the staining of these cells and the distance to the tumor nest, we see that you have regions that are enriched in this myosin H11 CAF and some that are less rich in this CAF. And interestingly, you see that if you look at the CD3 density in the tumor islets, you do see an anti-correlation between the two. And this is shown for different patients. So what about what you find at a later stage? Because this is really like more found at stage one, in stage one tumor. So as I said, this FAP alpha SMACAF can be found sometimes in patches. So you can have in the whole stroma some parts that have just FAP CAF and some that are, regions where you have more of this contractile fibroblast. So here, if you look only at the stroma, not yet at the tumor nest, you see that if you look at where what part of this stroma is enriched in this FAP alpha SMACAF, you have also an anticorrelation where the samples that are the regions where you have lots of this FAP CAF are poorly infiltrated by T cells, even in the stroma, suggesting that they are less favorable for T cell migration. And I really think that the spatial positioning of these cells is important when we look at T cell distribution and T cells infiltration into the tumor nest, because we do see in a fraction of samples that this organization in multiple layers around tumor nest. You can see here, for example, so in white the tumor cells, in red you have this FAP CAF that you can find in the old stroma. And you have FAP and alpha SMACAF, I mean, co-expressing the two, that are making like these multiple layers around tumor islets. And interestingly, if you look at the T cells localization, it's not only that you don't see much many T cells in the tumor nest, but also you see this gap where these fibroblasts are, you see a gap where the T cells cannot even contact tumor cells from the periphery. And this time, when you stain for with the Masson's trichrome to look at the fibers in general and collagen fibers in general, you do see that in these samples with this CAF around tumor nest, you do have this time like really denser fibers around. So then, coming back to the transcriptomic, right? So we looked at what was differentially expressed between these different fibroblasts. And for sure, there's a different matrix program for this myosin H11 CAF. They express in particular a lot of collagen 4. You have collagen 4 A1, A2, A5. And if you look at the FAP alpha SMA and that you want to compare with the other CAF, including FAP CAF, you have in particular collagen 11 and 12 that are shown. Collagen 1, for example, is something that is more expressed also by FabCAF. And so this is to look at them at the protein level. So you see this example of a tumor that in some part of the tumor have present this myosin H11 CAF lining. So you really see them clearly in red lining the tumor cells. And you do see this collagen 4 production around, where a zone of the same tumor that don't contain this CAF also have very dim or almost no collagen 4 production. More striking, I think, with FAP alpha SMACAF and collagen 12. We do see, so here if you take this tumor and you look again that you have FAP, the blue FAPCAF everywhere in the stroma, but that this alpha SMA is monolocalized in different regions, you have really a correlation with the presence of this collagen 12 fibers. Obviously, we quantified all of these things, and this is just to show you that when we quantify by doing it by in a tumor, looking at these different tiles and looking at the coverage of collagen 12 versus the coverage of alpha SMA cells, we do see a correlation between collagen 12 and alpha SMA. And here I show that collagen 11, because that's also seen in some patients, but less consistent across patients than for collagen 12. And as controls, we always look also at this quantification, but compared to other, so collagen 12, for example, compared to the FAP cells that don't express alpha SMA. And also we looked at collagen 4 versus alpha SMA, and you see that you don't see these positive correlations in both cases as controls. Spatial positioning is important if we look at cell distribution, and you see that in these cases where you have FAP alpha SMA cells and multiple layers, you see here in red around tumor islets, you do have also this aligned and dense fibers of collagen 12 that are lining tumor nest. So of course not easy when you work with human to do functional studies. So one thing that we thought is to go back to the study that was published with Emmanuel in 2012. And so there was three samples. So the experiment that we explained about the collagenase, so the treatment of the 6 lysis with collagenase, it was done on three different samples. And so we, thanks to pathologists and the fact that at the time we are very organized because we found this the patient numbers, and so we found we asked the pathologists to recover the FFP samples, so the paraffin embedded tissue from the corresponding samples. And so as you saw just before in this experiment, yes, we had said that in these samples we had seen that if you look at where the T cell localized in the control, they were in the stroma and even with this gap far from the tumor cells. And when you have collagenase, you have more migration and more contact with tumor cells there. And so we recovered this, retrieved these samples and performed multiplex imaging. And that was nice to see, to validate what we had, our hypothesis from this new study, which is that you have this FAPCAF everywhere and you have this FAP alpha SMA in multiple layers around tumor nest in these samples. So in the end, I think the conclusion of this study is, as you saw, that there are, we really have to look at the different cellular sources, and it's not only the activated fibroblasts, it's more like two specific CAF subsets in human lung that are that drive T cell marginalization. And this through both their matrix program and their spatial positioning. And I hope that it convinced you also that it's important to pair both the molecular analysis and the spatial analysis. For example, I think it's important to have it in mind, in particular when we look at immunotherapy. For example, we want to have link with the immunotherapy response and the presence or not of a type of cells. So of course, bulk sequencing that is available more obviously than single cell or histology, bulk sequencing can be informative and we need it for some things. But for example, here, if you look at the signature, gene signature of this FAP alpha SMAC in bulk seq, that will be complicated to tell if this would exclude T cells, because it depends also where they localize in the tumor. And the last thing I think is something we can discuss afterwards. It's like, what about targeting strategy? More like, should we target more the matrix versus the cellular source? So the matrix, I think, is still challenging. Understanding more the type of matrix fibers that are involved is obviously needed. So like here. But I think we still have to really think of the toxicity effect. There's improvement, of course, of the local treatment. So that might really be a way of improving this matrix targeting. But you have to think that it's also, you have an adjacent tissue and you have drainage to, you have usually drainage to the lymph node where you have lots of matrix as well. And I think a better strategy would be to target the cellular source. Still, depletion in the field of stroma, we really go more against the depletion of fibroblasts. So maybe subset of fibroblasts, if we manage, will be a good way. But that can really be something. When you deplete the cells that provide the architecture of your tissue, you really can destroy, obviously, the architecture of your tissue. And it's not only the immune cell migration that you're going to change, you're going to also change the vessels, maybe permeability, and lots of other things. So at least it has to be kept in mind when we think of depleting fibroblasts. And so I think a strategy would be more to modulate the cells, and to modulate them, obviously, it's to more understand their biology and helping also to find what drives their phenotype. For example, what we discussed before, like targeting inflammatory macrophages impact on fibroblasts or tumor cells also. So I think that's it, and I want to thank lots of people, but in particular so John Grout, who is in the Mount Sinai team that is linked to Miriam, the Curie team, with also a lot of people that were involved there, in particular in spatial analysis, and EFI, obviously, for the computational analysis and the fundings and all the patients. Thank you.